Lord. What we're going to do tonight is look a little bit into heaven a little bit. There's been a couple of gentlemen in the Word of God, Isaiah. If we go to Isaiah chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 4, we see a little bit of a look into the throne room of God. We are not going to be able to understand and grasp this whole thing of what it all looks like and everything that's in there. Again, this is the vision. This is what these guys have seen. And it is God's word, so it is true. But again, you're talking about how do you write something that you've never seen before? How do you try to describe something that you haven't seen before? And at this time, John's in the island of Patmos. He's in prison, and God's given his revelation, and he is speaking to him, and he's allowing him to come in through the Spirit. And we're going to look at some of this tonight. So there's going to be some questions that you might have. I just challenge you to go back and dig and look. Revelations is one of those books. I preached in it a couple of weeks ago too. One of those books where you got to read it, and then you got to go back and you got to study it, and you got to sometimes you got to stop before you move on, find some cross references, things of that sort. But the Bible does do one really awesome thing. It supports verses and books support one another. And so we're going to look at a little bit of what the heaven looks like tonight. So as we go there in Revelation chapter 4, let's open up in prayer for just a second again. So Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity tonight just to gather ourselves together freely in this country. And Lord, we know that tonight, if we are a believer in Jesus Christ, your word tells us that we are foreigners, aliens, living in a foreign land, but that heaven is our place, Lord, that you are creating, Lord, those things for us, and Lord, we will have everlasting life with you because we are citizens in the family of God. And Father, tonight, as we look into this, may we see something here, Lord, that we may learn from tonight, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, some of the things we talk about when we talk about heaven, you can go into the end of the book, chapter 21 or chapter 22. You can look in some of the other chapters, but tonight I want to talk about this vision that he had in this piece here. So we're going to stop at a couple of spots and we're going to look at these. So in Revelation chapter 4, one thing is we have this idea that we know what heaven looks like, and we do through Scripture in some sense, but we kind of pick a piece and we just kind of camp there and we never move on. We kind of pick a piece and we make some new stuff up that's not in there, but let's look at it. He says, after this I looked, so he's in this vision piece, he says, there in heaven was an open door. So there's an open door there. And I want to tell you that those who are lost and separated from God do not get to go into this open door. Okay? This open door is an open door. When you see an open door, it's an invitation for you to come in. And the Bible says that people will knock, and the Bible says people knock, and we see the, I'm trying to think of the word here. We see some of the, I'll come back to that. So let me read this. After this I looked, and there in heaven was an open door. And the first voice that I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said. Now one thing I want to tell you, things that come out of heaven are clear. They're clear. Okay, they're clear. Everything has a purpose and it's clear. It's like a trumpet. It's loud. It's clear. And this vision is clear and it's loud. And the throne was, and a throne was set there in heaven. One was seated on the throne. Now, when we go back, if we go back just for a moment here, we will see, before the letters, let me do this real quick. Go back to Revelation chapter 1. He says in verse 12, I turned to see those, see whose face it was that spoke to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and along the lampstands were one like the Son of God, dressed in a long robe, and with a gold sash wrapped around his chest, and his head and hair were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes like a fiery flame, and his feet were like fine bronze as it is fired in a furnace, and his voice like the sound of cascading waters. Now, we have a little description there, and it says his face was shining like the sun at midday. So we have a little description there of what Christ may look like right there. But that is a vision piece. That is a piece that we look at. It's not a scary piece. It's not a monster being described. It is the Son of God being described. Now, it's hard to see and understand that because we've never seen anybody look like that. Okay? We've not seen anybody look like that. And here we see someone that's being in this vision, being caught up in the Spirit and into the throne room of heaven. And we see that there. We see, and immediately I was in the Spirit, in chapter 4 again, and the throne was set there in heaven, and one was seated on it, and the one seated looked like jasper and carnelian stone. A rainbow that looked like an emerald surrounded the throne. So we see that in heaven, we see a lot of lights. We see a lot of purity. We see a lot of color. We see those things. This is around the throne were 24 thrones, and the thrones are elders dressed in white clothes. Now, I don't want to go there tonight, but I do want to talk about something here in just a few. And with golden crowns on their foreheads, flashes of lightning and rumbles of thunder came from the throne, and seven fiery torches were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, tonight we could be talking about the 24 elders, the 24 thrones, but I want to talk about the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God, and people are like, well, what is the seven spirits of God? How do we know that that really is what it means? How do we know what the seven spirits of God is? The awesome part is that the Scripture interprets so much of Scripture. And so we're going to look here a little bit about the seven spirits of God. Now, if we go to Isaiah for a moment, I'm going to go back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11 gives us a lot of pieces. I'm going to say the book of Isaiah gives us a lot of prophecy that's yet to come. And we see a lot of that is the foretelling of Jesus coming. But some of it also is even a little bit further than that. And it also gives us some other information. So Isaiah is a lot of telling at the moment, but also a lot of prophecy. And we're going to see this piece here because we need to understand that there's some things here that we need to look at as well. Now, in chapter 11 in Isaiah, it says, then I'm going to pick it up in verse 2. Now, verse 1 says this, then a shoot will grow from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Then it says in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, on Jesus, okay? So the Spirit of the Lord is the first Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I don't know if you take notes or not, it's something you can go back and check, but this is more of an educational piece here in the sense of your knowledge of God's Word. But the Spirit of the Lord is the first piece that he gets. That's the seven spirits of the Lord. Number one, the Spirit of the Lord, okay? Number two, it says Spirit of Wisdom. There's no one wiser than Jesus Christ that ever walked on the face of the earth. Amen? Also, of understanding and understanding. Jesus says it's the spiritual, it's a spiritual piece of the spirit of understanding. That's number three. Number four, the spirit of counsel. There was never a great counselor like the one that Jesus Christ. And he got it because it was a spirit of counsel. And the spirit of strength. Some versions might say might. But a spirit of strength. Let me tell you, Jesus did not show his strength on earth in the way that we were in the way that we think of strength. We know that he could have called 10,000 angels down, couldn't he? He didn't do that. He didn't do that. But he has a spirit of strength. He also has a spirit of knowledge. That says there, a spirit of knowledge. Number six. And number seven is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Now, it says in verse 3, his delight will be in the fear of the Lord. Now, in the fear of the Lord, this is not a contradiction of God's word. Because we can really think, now wait a minute, the Bible tells me that God did not give us a spirit of fear. But here it tells me that there is a spirit of the fear of the Lord. The spirit of the fear of the Lord and the spirit of fear are two different things. So it's not a contradiction, okay? So God did not give us a spirit of fear, okay, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. It says that in 2 Timothy 1:7. And so we know that it is not the same thing. There is a wisdom and having a fear of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we run around afraid of the Lord in that sense, but there is the beginning of the wisdom is the spirit of, is the fear of the Lord. We can go through Ecclesiastes when we do that. So we need to understand that there is a difference between fear of a storm and a fear of someone hurting and harming you than there is a fear of the Lord. Now, a good quality part of fearing of the Lord is I know that there's a God. And there's a part of me that gives reverence to God. And I fear to be standing in front of Him. As we see with Isaiah and we see with John, these men was like, I don't fall down like a dead man. I'm standing in front of God. And there needs to be a reverence and a positive fear of the Lord. And that is a good thing to have that. So there's those seven spirits. So we kind of looked at that. Now, so back to chapter 4 of Revelation. So the seven spirits of God, those are the things we just listed. The spirit of the Lord is one, spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of strength, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. This thing kept things straight and right. Now, because you can't do any of that and have any of that if you don't have the Spirit of the Lord, okay? Now, I believe that we have the Spirit of the Lord as believers. God gives us what He calls the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells in those who are believers, but not just believers, but those who have received salvation through Jesus Christ. And so what Jesus kept saying was, I have to go, as when He was walking on the earth, so that the Counselor would come, the Encourager, God's Spirit would come, so we might have understanding and begin to know and think, not just with our mental mind that God gives to us, but with a spiritual mind and spiritual knowledge and wisdom. So let me go back. Which are the seven spirits of God? Now, it says also, now, with that, so there's that, okay, the seven fiery torches were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. It's pretty awesome if you kind of can picture that in your mind. Now, verse 6 says, now there was something like a sea of glass. Some of you will say crystal glass, a crystal sea, similar to crystal, was also before the throne. You've seen pictures of what I'm talking about, but really none of the pictures that were painted or drawn have really no recognition, cannot really tap into really the awesome piece of what we're looking at right now. Now, he goes into something that's a little bit different. He says, now, the first living creature was like a lion, okay? And the second creature was like a calf or an ox. The third creature had the face like a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And one of these days, we're going to go into that a little deeper, but not so much tonight. And each of the four living creatures had six wings, and they covered their eyes and around and inside. Day and night, they never stopped saying. Now, this is the same vision piece, almost as you can see, is in Isaiah chapter 6. But here's what they do. They say this continually, and they never stop. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Who was and who is and who is coming. That don't stop when you have a bad day, and that don't stop when the church wants to quit. That don't stop when there's a World War I, it didn't stop in World War II, it didn't stop in the Revolutionary War, it didn't stop when they had the bubonic plague, it didn't stop when, I don't believe it stopped any time. It continues to say, because here it says day and night, it never stops saying, holy, holy, holy. No matter what's going on in this world, that up there is still going on right. If you think everything around you is falling apart, just remember, God's part is going right. Sometimes we can rest in that. Sometimes we can rest and be assured that God's word is true. And right now, even though I don't feel like it, wow, I wonder what it would be like to hear those creatures sitting there and singing, holy, holy, holy. Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is coming. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one seated on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, they fall down before the one seated in the throne, and they worship the one who lives forever and ever, casting their crowns before them, before the throne. And they say, O Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, because you have created all things, and because of your will they exist and were created. There's a worship that's going on in heaven. There's a worship. You see these ones are just worshiping Him on how great and awesome God is. And then we see this part here about God being the ultimate creator, and they're doing their part. This is an amazing piece. Everything and everything is doing what it's supposed to be doing. Then he saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne of the scroll with writing on the inside and the back, sealed with seven seals. Now we're in chapter 5. We're kind of going fast. He says, I also saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice. Now I'm stopping here for a moment because I can't help but go back to what we talked about this morning. It just amazes me that the sons of God, they begin to bring themselves before God, and Satan comes in the midst and he's looking. Remember, he was looking. He wanted an accusation. He wanted something to hit on Job. He's messing around with sinful things. And here we see things that are holy. Are holy. And I saw a mighty angel. I wonder what the difference is, an angel and a mighty angel. Just asking. Think about that for a moment. Proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? I'm going to tell you, that has some power in it, if you really think about it. A mighty angel said that. He says, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? There's business going on up there, folks. I don't know if you realize that, but there's business going on up in there. And there's a business, and there's a hierarchy there, and there's a systematic way that God wants it to be. And it's going to go the way that God wants it to be. And this mighty angel says, who is it? Who is it that can open up the scroll and break its seal? Now remember, John's seeing this. But no one in heaven or earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or even to look at it. John said, I cried. And I cried because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or even to look at it or to look in it. And John cried. God gave him that peace where God gave him a peace for him to feel the anguish and the heaviness of it all. And God let him stand there and feel that heaviness of there is no one worthy to do it. No one. And he heard the angel, the mighty angel, say, who is worthy? Who is worthy? And there was no one on the earth or under it or anywhere to be able to open it, to look into it. And he begins to cry. I cried. Because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or even to look in it. Then one of the elders said to me, the elders, as everybody in heaven is paying attention. Nobody's drifting off. One of the elders said, whoa! Said, stop crying, look! The lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, all these titles that were given back in the Old Testament are being used right now. The lion of Judah, the root of David, had become victorious so that he might open the scroll and its seven seals. And then I saw one like a slaughtered lamb standing before the throne. Did you hear that? One like the slaughtered lamb standing before the throne. And the four living creatures among the elders, he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent to all the earth. And he came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of the one seated on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And each one had a harp. You know, listen, pay attention. Each one had a harp. You know, in heaven, if you get an instrument, these elders, they get an instrument, they know how to play. It ain't going to be like they thump bad notes. They're going to do it. I'm telling you, worship here on earth can be really awesome and so meaningful and so rich and fulfilling, and it's a sense of worship. But I'm going to tell you, I don't care who you like singing, ain't nobody like singing up in what's going on in heaven. Ain't nothing like what they're playing up there. Each one had a harp and a gold bowls filled with incense. Now, what's in those bowls? Let's read. Which are the prayers of the saints? Can I tell you that your prayers, you think they bounce off walls like rubber biscuits and balls is bouncing all over the place? If you say your prayer with the right, I believe you say your prayer with the right spirit and the right heart, it is one of the most precious things to God. Because you laid your heart out. You laid your heart out in words. You took moment and time and you're pleading for someone else's pain and suffering. You have something, you have anguish on your own heart. You're praying for other people that people you may not even know. But it's rich before God, and He holds them, and they're putting in these bowls of their incense. Now you remember the Old Testament stories, the incense of the sacrifices that God would smell, and He would say it would be good, or He would say it would be a stench. It was how they did it. It wasn't really what they were doing with it. They had to do it the right way, but it was their heart in it? Was their spirit in it? And then when it was received. And when it wasn't received, and there would be a stench in it. And so there was an aroma that God likes. And here it is. Here it is. There's an incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now you got to remember, there's a lot of stuff here that hasn't happened yet. There's a lot of stuff here that's happened, but not had happened. And stuff that's going to happen after what's happening. We're just touching the surface of this tonight. He says, which are the prayers of the saints? Before I go on, am I the only one in the house that had thought that there have been times when God didn't hear your prayers? There's been some times I've thought, Lord, are you hearing me today? Let me tell you. They have a system going on up in heaven. You've been heard. Your prayers are being heard when it's done the right way. What the Bible tells us, we don't even know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit groans through groans and moans. So it says, which are the prayers of the saints? And it says, and they sing a new song. A new song. I wonder who that writer was. A new song. Not the same songs we sing, not the same songs that they sing in it, but a new song. And here it is. Because here it is. You are worthy to take the scroll. Now let me tell you why. Why is He worthy to take the scroll? Why is Jesus worthy to take the scroll? Because He didn't walk away from that. He didn't walk away from that. He gave His life on that two pieces of wood. And He gave it. And so now you are worthy to take the scroll. Remember, nobody was found worthy. The mighty angel, he wasn't worthy. There was no man that was worthy. There was no angel that was worthy. But there was one. It was the one that died on that cross. He says, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. Whew. Because you were slaughtered and you redeemed the people. You notice the cross wasn't about what, it was about redeeming what was lost. It was about you and I. And that's why He went to the cross. And that's why He's here. And this is where He's worthy to take the scroll. Because the end of times, there's things that's got to happen. And the only one that can open the scrolls and do all those things and give the orders and come in with the iron scepter, and it is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. The more I read Revelations, the more I say, thank you, God, for your love that you gave your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this filthy place filled with my filthy sins. Thank you for walking on this dirty earth and giving up your precious life for me. And thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that I can follow in baptism, buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Thank you, God, that I could participate in something that I'm really unworthy to be a participant of, and that is communion. Communion with God, it makes no sense, but God allows it. And then when I can actually talk to God and pray to Jesus Christ, pray to God, and then I can turn around and He puts a power inside of each believer. It is the Holy Spirit. If you can tap into that, I'm telling you, you're going to be stronger than you ever thought you could be. And He says, because you were slaughtered and you redeemed people for God by your blood. So what was done on the cross was with the blood and redeemed it for God. And every tribe and language and people and nation. Listen, I'm telling you, God is not racist. Whew, God is not racist. Praise God for that. He doesn't like one color over another. God just loves people. He could have made us all the same. Made the first couple the same. Moves down to verse 10. He says, you made them a kingdom. This is pretty good stuff. He says, so from every tribe and language and people and nation God redeemed from. He says, you make them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard a voice of many angels around the throne. That's a busy place, is it not? People think heaven's going to be boring. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot happening up there. There's a lot happening right now. But didn't the Bible say when one comes to know, a lost person comes to know Jesus, that there's celebration in heaven? Well, wouldn't you want to be a part of that crew? I want to be on the evangelism crew. I want to be on the getting excited when somebody comes that was bound for hell or turn around and now they're bound for heaven. That crew is having a good time because the Bible says they celebrate. There's a joyful noise up there for that. And we just sit down here like a bunch on the log, and I'm tired, and ministry's wearing me out. I get some of that, but we need to be excited because, listen, tick-tock, 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 your time is running. You're running out. You're running out. I've done running a lot of races. I'm down in 52, so I've run some laps. I've run some laps. I ran more laps than when I got left. Y'all about my age, you've run more than what you got left. We got to make what's left count. We got to make what's left count. Because the older you get and you walk with the Lord, you begin to understand some things. Listen, time is valuable. It's one of the most valuable commodities there is. Because one, you never know when your lights are going to be put out. You never know when the death angel comes and taps you on the shoulder. You're done. Also, you know, just by age, you're getting closer. And the things that you might argue over, those little fuss things, you find out they ain't worth it no more. They're just not worth it no more. So then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and also of the living creatures. Here those guys are again, and of the elders. They're always busy. Their numbers were countless, thousands plus thousands of thousands. Here it is. Everybody's together. Thousands and thousands. Countless thousands. And they said in a loud voice, the Lamb who was slaughtered is worthy. You know why? You know why? You know why we're able to say that? You know why we're able to say that? Because we have experienced salvation. So the Lamb who was slaughtered is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. How do you bless God? How can you really bless Jesus Christ? How can you bless Him? I mean, just thinking here on the earth, how can you bless Him? I believe the only way that we truly can bless Him is to follow Him. To live the life that He's called us to live. That's the only way. When He looks down and you become a blessing to Him because you received His blessings and you become a blessing to Him. That's the only way. You become a blessing by how you're living. And He doesn't, you know, I love my dad. But there's one thing he did. It used to irritate me but here it is. When he did it, I knew he was right. But I didn't like it when he did it. You know what he did? He'd see me do something, or me or my brother, he'd do this. He'd shake his head. And I know he'd be, see, Jimmy. Didn't have to have a conversation. I already knew what it was. I don't want God doing that. Looking down going. Because He don't have to say anything because we already know, don't we? We already know. We already know that head shake me. Oh, man, here we go. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing to God. So He says this. And I heard the creatures. So He says, and I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under earth, on the sea, and everything in them. And they all said, everybody said, blessing and honor and glory and dominion. You know what this all is? It's setting Jesus up. That's what it is. Instead of setting him up on that, crucify, crucify, crucify. Remember? All the crowds were saying, hey, we got to get him out of here. Instead of setting him up on the cross, guess where he's being set up on? Throne. He's Jesus. Not just Jesus the miracle worker, not just Jesus the Savior. God's going to give him all authority. Above, below, in, out. You better get with him. He says, and I heard every creature say it. On earth and under the earth, over the earth, on the earth, on the sea, and everything in it. And this way he says, blessings and honor and glory and dominion to the one seated on the throne. And the Lamb forever, and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures got to say their last piece. Amen. You know, you got to have them guys at the end. Amen. Seal it with an agreement. Amen. So be it. And the elders, they do what they do. They fell down, and the Bible says they worshiped. They worshiped. We can get busy about being busy about other things, about this and that, but these guys knew. They know what to do, but I mean, they're in the throne. They know what to do. They see it. Remember. Let's take a moment back and we're going to close. Picture it again, because we got caught up in a lot of this worship. Here we go. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and a throne was set there in heaven. And the one seated on the throne, and the one seated looked like jasper. And a rainbow that looked like emerald surrounded the throne. I mean, you've got to picture all of that at one time. It's hard to picture it all at one time. But here I will tell you this. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and you've accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, and you know by beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you know that Spirit inside and testifies also that you are a believer and that you are a child of God, listen, you're going to be able to see it. You're going to be able to be a part of that because you're part of the family of God. And here we see it, blessed and honor and glory and dominion. We're going to be able to say that to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And we're going to get to see these creatures. We're going to get to see these winged creatures that God has as they run, as they're continuing. Remember, that's going on, but something else is going on too. It says it never stops. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. They're doing that too. I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. You ever got excited about Jesus? Up there, it never stops. You ever get that warm feeling inside of you? It's like, man, I just feel like God is just, man, he's just moving inside of me. Up there, it never stops. You ever just feel like, man, I just want to get closer to God. I just want to be closer to Jesus. I just feel him. You ever had, you know, like, I can feel him in my arms. It just feels good. Listen, up there, it never stops. I wish we would understand and get excited about who Jesus really is and what does he really mean to you. I've challenged you to read the book of Revelations. Just if you don't understand parts, you just bump over it. Something's going to come to you. Bump over and look at another part. Just the more you read it, the more you'll understand it. It's not a book to avoid. It's a book to read because it involves you. It involves me. It involves this church. It involves Jesus Christ. It involves God. It involves the Holy Spirit. It involves all the good stuff. You know, the Bible tells us that he will wipe away all of our tears. That there's no pain, no suffering there. Tree of life. But all the stuff we're talking about, is there anybody you want to see when you get to heaven that's not here no more? Anybody, you got a loved one that you know is a believer that's in the spirit right now with the Lord, but not fully all that until Christ comes and resurrects us? I've got some people that I'm kind of anxious to see. I'm kind of anxious to see that. But right now we have a life to live here. And we can't hide that feeling, and we can't hide these things inside of us and inside the words and act like it doesn't exist. We need to be excited about our walk and be excited as a believer in Christ. We get so weighed down by the world. And listen, the world's not doing it. All the world does is help you get through maybe one day here, one day there. But God's all not about the daily moment. He's about the everlasting moment every day, not just one day. Not just one day. So I'm challenging you tonight to start looking at yourself. Start looking at yourself. Start looking at heaven. Look at it in a way that the Scriptures tells us. It's an awesome and amazing piece. And if you're a believer tonight, you are part of the family of God. Did you ever think about it? You will see Michael one day. You ever thought about that? Boom! Big Michael come. I mean, I'm just saying. The one who disputed with the devil over the body of Moses. You're going to get to see him one day. You're going to get to see Gabriel who brought the awesome news to Mary that you're with child. What? I'm not even married yet. I've never had intimacy, sexual intimacy yet. What? You're with child. You're going to get to see Gabriel. And you're going to get to see those other angels that we don't know their names, but we are also going to get to see Moses. You ever thought about that? He lived in a time that we can't understand. But you know what? We live in a time that he's never put his foot. We live in a different time than he did. We're going to get to see David, the one that struck down Goliath. We're going to get to see Daniel, the one that was in the fiery the lion's den. We're going to get to see all of these guys. We're going to get to see Peter. We're going to get to see Paul. We're going to get to see John the Baptist. I'm going to ask him, man, what, you know, you almost want to say, what was it like? My goodness. Dude, you got your head cut off. And we're going to get to see all of them. We're going to get to see Esther, who put her life on the line for her people. And then we're going to get to see Jesus. I don't think we can grasp that. No matter what you're going through here, when you're going to get to see Jesus Christ. Not just of Nazareth, of Bethlehem. You're going to get to see Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's coming to gather you. When he comes to heaven on the set, he is going to call your name up. Isn't that awesome? Guess what that means? Because the Bible says, if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not going to go to heaven. You're separated. And they keep a record up there. Woo! Can you imagine? Your name is written in a place that is holy, and you're not holy? It's written, there is a place in heaven, your name is written on just your name. And it's because you asked Jesus in your heart. Not because you did some awesome stuff. Not because of your last name, but because you took the hand of Jesus Christ and received salvation. My whole thing tonight is to open your eyes up. It's all bigger than what you think it is. It's really huge. And I think a lot of Christians are missing the awesomeness that we can have, the blessingness of knowing what we know here on earth. Let's just take a moment. We want to take a moment of